Care Bear countdown. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Care Bear stare.
Care Bear share.
Care Bear hair.
Care Bear care.
Care Bear nadir.
Care Bear nair.
Care Bear boudoir.
Hi, everybody. I'm Darth Zero.
Darth Rictus here.
Darth Cogentes.
Welcome to 2024.
With the Care Bear sharing
fest. It's a 2020 whore.
And we have ourselves the latest coming out of coming into Standard here shortly with Karlov.
Yeah, some 2020 more.
Is it possibly coming on to Standard?
In a way, it will be. Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
All over it.
There's a whole lot of clues about it, in fact. So, yeah, let's just break it
let's
down.
Let's go back to that South Park joke. Was it the Hardy Boys?
I don't remember. I'll be honest with you.
Probably.
I think it was. Did either of you?
I've read the Hardy Boys.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that was like
I read some Nancy Drew stuff back in the day. What up? Boxcar Children?
Boxcar Children.
Represent.
Classic.
I read all of those. Oh my God. It made it seem like Running Away from Home was such a good idea.
Oh, you read all of them? I'm so sorry.
I thought it was going to be a great idea. I even got so far as like the mailbox before I realized I had nowhere to go.
Yeah, you didn't have a boxcar waiting for you in the woods.
No. And actually having like crashed in the woods and woken up on a like bus that was just fucking infested with spiders. Bad idea to get into metal things in the woods. They are always spider nests.
Just I wouldn't trust spot. Any structure I just found in the woods.
Fair.
My brain would just go like True Detective season one, stay away.
Yeah, that's smart. Just a smart rule of
thumb. I liked playing under those big overhang trees that were by like under the roots, you know, by a river. And the top of them, if you looked up, was just pure spider webs, cobwebs and spiders everywhere. But you didn't look up. You were a kid.
Jesus. Well, that's one way to go about it. Yeah, absolutely. So the new sets, we've looked a little bit at some of the spoilers, not a shitload of them, but like a fair number, I'd say at this point. Any highlights that stand out to either of you so far?
My knowledge of this spoiler is so far. Ooh, Clue, Professor Plum.
The lands, the surveil lands that are, I think, you know, you can't say that they're strictly better, I guess, but they seem strictly better. Because they've got the basic land types and surveil on average is better than scry.
Right. And we have cards that care a lot about that still in standard. We have leyline bindings, etc. Like domain might actually shift some pieces. I don't know. But
it matters too because periodically the check lands get reprinted.
Right.
And they play poorly with the scry lands, but they'll play well with these.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, in many ways, I would consider this a strict upgrade. The only scenario in which it's not is you don't want things in your graveyard. You only want them in hand or on the bottom of your library.
Right. The only circumstance I can think of where it's not a strict upgrade is the card that you're scrying is Gaia's Blessing, but you don't want it in your graveyard for some reason.
I could see the Indomitable decks not wanting to run something like this because you can't afford to throw your Atraxas into the graveyard. They don't have reanimation.
Yeah.
But yet.
That's about it. You know what I mean? Like outside of those very limited circumstances, these seem like strict upgrades. So I'm with you. Those seem exciting. Zero, anything you saw in particular outside of the lands?
Lead pipe.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, I do want to point out, though, as cool as these lands are,
yeah,
they are going to play into more of a sloggy mid-range format because that is what they're best in.
Yeah, mid-range soup is what WotC's been pushing for a minute now.
And so. Occasionally combo. Occasionally combo.
My fingers are so crossed that there's just enough good red or red and white cards to have a super aggressive deck that makes all of the super, super grindy strategies go, oh, we have to tone it back.
Yeah, speaking of which, Lightning Helix.
Yeah, and I mean, Mono Red is at the top of the meta right now, and it has been for 2 weeks. It's taken down 3 major events in the last week alone. It's just a wrecking house now.
It's because people decided to go so mid in their mid-on-mid big battles that now the little things get under them and kill them
so
on turn
mid.
4.
So mid!
Yeah.
And I mean, there's a like a mana leak, sort of? Like a Dovin's Veto mana leak? Like it's mana leak and it exiles?
Mana leak and it exiles for blue and a white. It's, God, I've missed having mana leak in standard. I'm happy that they did a functional-ish reprint of it.
That's going to pair really nicely with Lightning Helix.
Yeah, there might be a Jeskai control list running around that really goes nuts. And we've seen the mentor list start to emerge lately where people are running Hadijin and Monastery Mentor.
I have run into that.
Yeah, this goes right into something like that if you want it to. So, and it wouldn't be hard to splash the third color and get those lightning helixes in there. It, the only thing missing from the old list would be Jeskai Ascendancy. If we saw a return of Ascendancy somehow, then holy shit, we're going
to
have a
we
whole
don't
deck.
Need to go that far.
We could get it back. Give me Crackling Doom. Let's get Dark Jeskai back.
I'm thinking more like we just need a decent sweeper, which we've got already.
A lot of them, yeah.
And like a good win condition. Preferably something that's kind of snapcastery, but I don't think we've got anything like that right now.
I mean, technically we have some options that are close, but nothing on the same power level. So I
is there one more good counter spell too?
Outside of that at 2 mana or 3?
Either.
3, yeah. I think there's a couple different options, but 2, it's basically been Make Disappear holding down the fort for the last year. So for me, I'm excited to just be done dealing with Make Disappear and have something that's a little bit more concrete in a lot of lists.
Make Disappear is going to work better if you're doing a Monastery Mentor deck, though, because it'll trigger the mentor twice and the tokens will sack to it.
Yeah, but you could have both. And that was something that prior to this, you had to just have 4 Make Disappear in the main, and then you dumped like 2 or 3 Negates and Disdainful Strokes in the sideboard, and you left it at that, right? And this time we can just go, nope, 8 counters in the main. Good luck killing Hadijin. Don't care.
8 2-mana counters.
Right, with Hadijin and Mentor to back it up. Both of which are going to just be difficult to deal with. And you get Helping Hand, which is what people have been using in that deck. It's just 4 copies of Helping Hand. So you're like, kill the Mentor. You're like, that's fine.
Is that what you get at the massage shop?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I need the special.
But, you know, getting your Mentor back. Getting your Mentor back in play for a single white mana or your Hadijin after they kill it for a single white mana feels absurd. Which is why that deck has taken off lately. But we'll see. Bant Toxic also might go a little nuts with it because they are predominantly a blue-white list that has a splash of green for the Rot Priest? And that's literally the only green card in the deck at this point.
No, there's another green card in there. The Audacity's in there.
Nope. Not the list that are winning.
I ran into it on Sunday at that tournament, so...
Yeah, splash green for win con.
Yeah, they're literally like, we can splash green for Rot Priest because we can just run Murex and Seed Core to get there. And we don't everything's Phyrexian. So we can just play the Kindred Lands to get Rot Priest as a free splash.
Rot Priest.
Ooh, okay.
And then they go with March of Swirling Mist as a 4+, so that if anybody tries to Wrath, you just insta-kill them with Rot Priest.
What's that again?
So it's X blue, X target creatures phase out, opponents or yours. So you can just phase out their board and swing, or if you have a Rot Priest down and they're like Brotherhood's End and you have 4 creatures and 5 mana, just phase them all out. They take 4 poison. And then on your turn, they all phase back in, swing and win. So I've seen this deck. Ooh-la-la. Yeah, I've seen this deck take down 2 or 3 tournaments in the last week. It's very popular right now. And it stands to gain if you eschew the green splash and you go back to a simpler mana base with Seachrome Coasts, etc., that you could play this mana leak and just push it that way instead if you want to. I don't know if it's correct, but it's interesting.
That's going to be hard to cast.
If you keep the Seed Core and you keep the Murex, yes. Yes. But if you go into a different build, like there's a mono white build that's been running around and doing okay, that would be closer to it because it's more of a control build. It's playing White Sun Twilight Zenith, whatever the fuck, the one that rats
in
the
spell.
Yeah,
okay, rats creates and then, 5 tokens, and if you paid more than I don't remember how much mana it's
5. If you paid 5 or more, 5.
Okay,
yeah. So
it's like that old Wrath from back in the day that made soldiers, but this makes little infect guys that can't block.
Martial Coup.
I was thinking Decree of Justice, but that wasn't right. Yeah.
Different card. That's the cycling one for 3 that gives you a single 1/1, or you can cast it and gives you angels.
Right.
That was a fun card.
The Sacred Cow of Cubes. I remember that card being in every cube for about 3
sacred
years.
Sacred Cow of Awesome.
Well, yeah, it was in a lot of decks. Was that one in Astral Slide back in the day?
Oh, yes.
It cycled. Of course it was.
Okay.
Starstorm.
Astral Slide was such a cool deck. I wish we had more interesting mechanics like that to play around with, but we're mostly in mid-range soup land these days, which isn't bad necessarily. It's interesting. But I miss having a control archetype, and control got decked so hard by Cavern. Like, people thought Cavern was going to sort out Domain and a few other things, and it made Domain stronger and erased control from the format. So it's like this new counter spell's coming in. It's interesting. It's strong. Will it be enough with Cavern in the format, though? That's really the question, right?
It'll probably be balanced by Cavern because in years gone by, Mana Leak was always way too good.
That's I think fair. This Mana Leak's going to be more helpful for soldier type decks and things of that sort.
You know what's going to happen is Cavern's going to, the Angel deck is going to play it.
That would be funny.
It'll be like when Glorybringer was coming out, and we were hoping that like that would do something to beat like Saheeli Felidar Cat, and then that deck was just like, but I'll play it.
Oh right, God. Yeah, and I mean Soldiers, it would slot in perfectly there. They've been trying to upgrade their counter suite anyway. But Domain running four Cavern of Souls in the main lately has been just a wrecking force for everybody trying to play counter tempo. And that was their solution to the counter tempo decks. You know, Dimir, aggro really pushed him into that. And so it's like, how do you deal with Domain? You know?
We need like a good land destruction card.
Okay.
That somehow doesn't fuck with Wizard's current position on design space, that they won't let land destruction be an archetype. Like, there was some goblin years by, it was like a 2/1 haste for red and two, and if you paid kicker, it
goblin ETB'd, rune blaster,
yeah, and blew up a non-basic land.
Loved it.
Something like that would be good. Or like the previous version of which was Ravenous Baboons from Exodus,
yeah,
where it was just red and three for a 2/2 that ETB'd and blew up a non-basic.
How do you feel about Fulminator Mage coming back? Maybe
that could be an engine though.
Okay.
That could be an engine a lot more easily because it's three mana. And because you can get it in the graveyard on command by sacrificing it.
Right. And then you can use, again, Helping Hand and just combo that out of your grave and keep rolling.
Right. It was kind of why Avalanche Riders didn't work as a standard card, because the Echo put it in the graveyard.
Okay.
And that made it easy to like reanimate and do it. It's weird because Echo was supposed to be originally a drawback on that card, but in most of the designs that it wound up in, it was a benefit for the card.
I won so many matches of Magic by paying the Echo and just being like, I'm just going to attack you for two to death. Peace.
Sometimes you do that. Yeah, sometimes you've got nothing in hand and it's a fair gamble to just pay four mana and keep swinging rather than...
I mean, I honest to God, I still miss the Magnivore days. I know everybody else hated them, but like Wildfire and Magnivore was a lot of fun.
You know what was fun? Turn one, Seething Song into Deus of Calamity. That was fun.
I don't even know what that card
is. Deus of Calamity is a 6/6 creature or 5/5 that just LDs your opponent when it attacks.
It costs five hybrid red-green mana.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Well, we could bring that back, right?
Every time it attacks, it caps a land.
It was bad unless you played it with broken mana.
Yep. So if it was brought back, it would just be ignored. You would have a better chance of Oversoul of Dusk. That's the white-green card like that seeing play.
If you gave Deus of Calamity haste, I think we might be in business.
Yes, I think that would do it. But you've got, and maybe with Power Creep, that's just how you would do it, because five actual colored pips in there.
Yeah, I would actually, if I could redesign that, I wish instead of five hybrid, it was just like double green, double red, one.
Fair. And I mean, the Power Creep is real. I look, it's weird when I look at this set, because some of these cards, they seem like they have way too much text to do very little, but there are other ones that the Power Creep seems really strong. For instance, they have the Tristani. The new one is three mana, so it's green, white, and then a green or white mana, and it's just a 4/4 dryad with three relevant abilities that target itself or other creatures to give them death touch or vigilance or double strike.
What?
And it costs how much again? Them?
So it costs one and a green to give any creature death touch. It costs a green or a white to give any creature vigilance until end of turn. And it costs two and a white to give any creature double strike until end of turn.
And so, those are all activated instant speeds? Are they?
Yep.
That strikes me as being a lot like that Temur guy that never did anything.
Oh, Savage Knuckleblade?
Yeah, it sounds like Savage Knuckleblade, like legendary Savage Knuckleblade that doesn't have haste.
And you say this is a 3/3/4?
Three for a 4/4.
4/4.
But the thing it has over Knuckleblade is Knuckleblade's biggest drawback was you had to have three colors of mana. This can be cast on two.
Knuckleblade's biggest drawback was Siege Rhino.
That too.
The existence of, yeah, because Knuckleback being haste and all that at that time was power creeping over cards. It just got over creeped by a 5/5.
Right. And then you could pay three mana to make it a 6/6, but that was a great time for them to be like, thanks for wasting your turn, removal spell.
Right, and then Rhino swings.
Yeah, and then you don't have the mana to bounce it back to your hand in response. Like
that was, I think, the problem, though, is it was too mana intensive to use all the different things, but something like this in an aggro deck, being able to just dump a 4/4 on turn three that gives you a ton of options. I'm not saying you're going to play four of them, but I can see a one of in a lot of grindy lists.
Well, 4/4 for three mana is on curve at this point.
Yep. Yes.
Like, we could print that as a common.
Yeah.
We could print like bigger Watch Wolf, like Watch Wolf.
Watch.
The wolf that watches.
That has the same mana cost as that Trostani 4/4, and we probably wouldn't play it in standard. It'd be pretty decent draft.
Fair.
The wolf that sits in that chair in the corner of the hotel room.
The watching wolf. The wolf of Watch Street.
Oh, there we go.
The wolf of Watch Street.
But I think that the new Trostani will see some play. At least I know I'm going to try it because I like doing things like that. I want to see if we're up to the point that Hate Bears or some variation is viable in standard again.
I bet you'll get a copy squeaking into some lists.
Well, speaking of wolves, we have the new Tolzimir is in. Midnight's Light, an elf scout that is a 3/2 with lifelink for 2 green and white. So 5 mana, right? Lifelink 3/2. Not that impressive there. But when it enters the battlefield, you get Vosia Fenstalker, a legendary 5/5 wolf token with trample. And whenever a wolf attacks, if Tolzimir also attacked, target creature has to block the wolf.
That seems decent.
I think it's really strong. You're going to
5 drop for a 5 and a 3/2 with ability. The wolf has trample. That helps too.
I mean, you're getting 8 power for 5 mana, and you're also getting kind of a weird, what would we call it? Not goad. Lure. We get a lure effect on the wolf, potentially. So I like it. Even if they blow up the wolf, if you blink the elf, it just happens again. I don't know. I'm a big fan of the 2-for-1s in a mid-range soup format, and that definitely has 2-for-1 on it.
Yes, that will do that. And that one again, hey, you know what that card slots really well into? Domain.
Sure does.
God damn it.
Whoop.
Sure does.
Oof.
Actually, so does Trostani.
Oopsie daisy.
Oh my god, yeah. Domain's not even going to have to go into blue anymore.
Giving your attracts a double strike.
Jesus. Yeah, there's that. Another card that I think really will be interesting to design around will be Warleader's Call, which is 1 red and white enchantment. Creatures get +1/+1, so great. We have an anthem on a Boros enchantment. And whenever a creature enters the battlefield under your control, it deals 1 damage to each opponent. The reason I bring this up is because Boros Convoke gets the new Thraben Inspector, already has Gleeful Demolition and Voldron Epicure and Warden of the Inner Sky and Knight Errant of Eos and Imidane's Recruiter. Like, most of the Pioneer build is now there.
That 3/3 artifact, or not artifact, enchantment, 3 casting cost enchantment that gets +1/+1. My brain is just fuzzed now.
Yep.
Oops. You want to buy some death sticks? But I think that thing will see plenty of play, mainly because that type of effect being stapled together is something that people who like the little creature come into play triggers impact tremor type decks have been wanting for years.
I mean, Gleeful Demolition looks really good when you get to Warleader's Call and then Gleeful Demo. You take, you know, bolt your opponent and you have 3 bears all of a sudden. That seems pretty strong. It, you know, any kind of swarm strategy with that is going to feel decent, I have to imagine. So I'm fascinated. I want to try
it out. Think that thing might make its way into Modern. I think it'll make its way into Pioneer.
Any particular reason?
That effect stapled together at 3 is very effective. There's a lot of little creatures that ping in and trigger things that are all based on a bunch of little crappy tokens that you're like, oh, this sucks, except when they're 2/2s now that deal an extra 1. That's a lightning bolt for every one of these weird effects. That's a turn 4 kill in a lot of formats for just casting a spell.
Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. Of course, we all know Lightning Helix is coming back. Thank you. Very happy about that.
I noticed that there were more 4 butts among the rares than I was used to seeing.
Right.
We don't want our spells to actually kill things. It's a very important factor to all of this.
Well, see, that's what it's there for. It's to kill the aggro creatures you see.
Yeah, I know. It's like there's a problem. When you increase all the butts and then you give the access to kill the aggro is dead before it arrives.
There's a weird niche card in this set. I'm very curious to see if it finds a home. It's called Crowl Whipcracker. It's a 3/2 with reach that costs green and a black. It's an insect assassin. And when it enters the battlefield, destroy target token and opponent controls.
Cyborg kind of 3/2 is a bit mope.
2 mana for a 3/2 with reach. So it's not terrible on those stats. Not great either. But blowing up tokens and opponent controls, depending on how big a role that's going to play as we continue, that might be an interesting sideboard card for Golgari.
If there's lots of clues, that might be good enough. If you're getting kind of aggro and people have clues sitting around, just snatching those up would be pretty decent.
I think it depends very much on whether or not the creatures or effects that produce those clues are like shitty on their own. You know what I mean? Because if so, you're winning that fight. But if they're decent on their own and the clue is just an extra piece, then
I have a feeling the card's going to be that, ooh, if the format gets really, really inbred, this card is going to be amazing.
I think all it needs to do is blow up clues consistently. Like, if it can get that 5-5 wolf from time to time, that's awesome.
Yeah.
But just blowing up clues, it's an aggressively costed, basically 2-for-1. They've got to invest the mana to crack the clue and get the card, but you took away access to a card.
At 2 for only a 3/2, though, I feel it's a bit underpowered, even though it has reach. If it had vigilance reach, I would give it some credit.
Or if it was a 4/2 with reach,
I'd that, be a little that bit would more do it too. It. That'd be aggressively set.
I'm with you. Having 3 power is a little rough on it, but I agree. If it gets inbred, we could see a lot of play.
It'll get helixed though.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, there is a new wrath in the format for white. It's called No Witnesses, with the flavor text: when cunning fails, there's always violence. Love the flavor text there. Each player who controls the most creatures investigates, then blow everything up. Or I should say all creatures. Destroy all creatures.
Okay, very important.
So it's like Fateful Absence for control decks, except for a Wrath effect. And at sorcery still, speed.
So 4 sorcery?
Okay. Like Wraths, and if someone, any player who had a multicolor creature draws a card.
Depopulate.
Yeah, kind of reminds me of that.
Yes.
It's still in standard right now.
It is. It's getting played as a 2 in every domain list at the moment because they're running 6 Wraths to try to start to counteract the mono red decks, along with 4 knockout blows in the sideboard to see if they can do anything about it.
Oh, they can probably bring those numbers down once they have access to Lightning Helix.
Depending,
It's really not that hard to get it. You just have to not be as greedy. You have so much incidental life gain in there. It's not hard to do.
Yeah, I mean, I lost to it round 2 of the pizza box this last weekend. I'm like, oh, fantastic domain. And, you know, I'm on the play, so I ranch game 1. And by game 2 and 3, nope, those knockout blows combined with herd domains, combined with archangels.
It's like, utilizing sideboards the way it was intended. What's this do? Well, you have like 3 cards that are specific to like 2 colors, but good in those. Not ones that are just great against like the whole field because it's game 2.
I saw some argument. This is years ago when people were main decking Aether Gust. Mm. And this outside of the, I forgot the name of the Planeswalker.
Nissa?
No. The one that was really problematic from Eldraine. Oko.
Oko. Oh,
so
yeah.
Like you main decked those in the Oko format, but this was after Oko was gone.
Yeah.
And decks were main decking Aether Gust, and that was kind of like, it was younger players who were doing it.
Okay.
And there was some head scratching and just... Eventually, I saw one of the deck tech interviews with one of them.
Yeah.
And whoever was doing it, like Brian David Marshall or something, is asking them like, okay, this doesn't make sense to us. Like, are you really leaning that hard into seeing these colors to play like a main deck color hoser?
Sure.
And I wish I knew the player's name to give them credit, because it was really insightful, because they were saying, okay, but like, say you play Lava Coil, that's dead in matchups too. What's the difference?
That's a good point.
Right, like, so if your opponent doesn't have creatures that Lava Coil can target and they just have like a Teferi Planeswalker, what's the difference?
Depends on how hard you want to hedge, really. Yeah.
Right, a dead card is a dead card, so who cares why the text makes it a dead card?
I disagree on that fully, though. The text would make a difference because creatures are, unless that format was that stacked with red-green, creatures would be more likely to appear than either of those given colors, supplying what you need to do it against. But at that time, maybe 60% of the field was red-green at that point. You know, it's equal to the creatures.
But the point, like, we avoid trying to put cards in our deck list that will be dead cards in any match, but sometimes you do it because of what the meta is.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think the fresh thinking here was, if there's, generally speaking, Lava Coil in formats is going to be possibly more useful than Aether Gust, but that was a time where, you know, like, green was really fucking good.
Yeah.
You know, we were hitting Nissas with it and shit.
Yeah. Yeah. And Nissa was something you had to take out that turn. It was a problem, and hitting it on the way in was much better than trying to get it off the board, typically.
I just thought that was some good, fresh thinking, though.
Yep, I've played Hallowed Moonlight, man.
Fair. No, I agree with you, because I had the exact same thing. Like, why on earth? But yeah, I've played Lava Coil in the main before.
Until I heard that, my brain just went, if it's, you know, says something like, you know, blue cards, automatic sideboard.
Right.
Do this to red cards, automatic sideboard.
Fair. I'm kind of curious to see if we get to the point in the meta where knockout blow goes into the main, because mono red just keeps winning. It just keeps dominating tournament scenes. And if it keeps going...
Something going for a couple of weeks. It's the same reason that mono red wasn't winning a lot before this, because as we got into this format, there were so much more reasonable plays on there. It wasn't just mid trying to eat other mids and go bigger than other mids.
Fair, but I'm saying mono red is grinding now through decks that are not domain. The... recent results from the pizza box, the winner was playing Mono Red, went perfect 10-0, never played Domain the whole time, had to beat Golgari regularly, and that is supposed to be an atrocious matchup. And they were beating it with regularity on the build. So
didn't they have like four Witchstalker frenzies so they could cap off that? What's the 3/4 guy that comes down and gives you like clues or
Sentinel of the Nameless City?
There we go. Yeah.
Yeah. The problem is the Golgari decks are running Sentinels, Preacher of the Schisms, and Shieldred, and you have to kill all of them.
Yep. That's why I believe they were running, I'm guessing they were, Witch's Frenzy times 4 in the main.
Two.
Only two and no Nahiri Warcalling?
One Nahiri, two okay. Witchstalker. They got, but three is still low for that deck and where we're at. Most lists before that were on four. They're running Furnace Punishers in the main.
Yeah,
which gives you to that Lava Coil Aether Gust argument.
Furnace Punishers got Menace too. That's really notable. But the two lands is just such a risk. Even Domain usually has two basic lands.
I actually don't like them against Domain at all because of that, because they have Topiary Stompers to immediately go second basic. We're done with that. Yeah. But maybe there's more merit to it than we had thought because they're able to do this in a format filled with mono red decks, you know?
Well, or maybe it's just an error or a lucky hit, which happens quite a bit.
Or it might be an exceptionally good red pilot.
Fair.
Because
there's only two of those in main and two side, right?
Two main, two side, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So it's not a crazy type hedge.
No, but it's an important distinction. The same list in red in the 2 weeks prior to this, we're doing the four Witchstalker Frenzy, and it was like a clean sideboard, like four Forge, four Furnish Punisher, four Lithomantic Barrage, three End of the Festivities. And that was Red's stock list off the sideboard for like a month, and it was winning. This is the first time somebody went in and started innovating from that and shifting a couple to the main, a couple to the side. They were on, prior to this, I think four Phoenix Chick and only two Swift Spear. And this reversed that again to the 2/4 split the other way with Taylor Swifties all the way at four.
And Mono Red's kind of an interesting nut to crack because it, over the years, has always kind of gotten the rap of like the easy self-playing deck.
Oh, God.
And good players are rewarded when they invest time into Mono Red.
Yes.
Because it's, I mean, like one, getting the build right is enormous. Even if it's like three cards difference, that can be enormous with Mono Red.
Yeah.
And getting the sideboard correct similarly. Every card there matters a lot more, I think. But just having a player who has the patience to go through and figure out the lines of play of a mono red deck in a given format, because sometimes you just kind of hold back for like 3-4 turns.
Yeah.
And then just blow shit all over the board and overwhelm, which isn't really an approach I think springs to mind for people when they're thinking about your average mono red deck.
No, most people just curve and pray.
Yeah, and you'll
which
see
is
like
the wrong way to play mono red.
The best mono red pilots will engage in a lot of different play pattern.
Yeah, there's a lot of restraint.
Yeah, there's a lot of subtlety. I think not every mono red, not every format, but I think more often than not, there's more subtlety in mono red than people give it credit for.
Well, look at the times just against Golgari where you look at the board and you go, "Oh, they've got two lands that they left up. I could cast a creature into my empty board or just pass the turn back and force them to sit and still have that stupid go for the throat sitting in their hand going nothing, nothing, nothing," or Bitter Triumph. And you gain so many turns on them by doing that. Like you gain like three of those and it's like I had a free turn against you.
Especially considering your threats are often lower mana cost than their removal is.
And haste, because as soon as they like gate status, like, and here's Godric 2 for fun, take damage.
Yeah, it's just a different kind of vibe because I see bad mono red players. They're just like, well, I just forced them to have it. I'm like, this is more of a chess match than you think it is. You can't just force them to have it because the format will just start having it.
Sometimes it's correct to do that, though.
It is. But it's something that people just universally use as the like excuse.
Yeah, it's not an approach without exception.
Right.
There are better times to do that and there are worse times to do that.
Yeah.
And for anyone who listens to this, I will give you one of the coolest mono red tricks that you can use in this format right now. You know the Monkey one red toe. Enchantment kimono thing?
Yeah, kimono.
Yeah, when you have no creatures, playing that into your opponent when their life's getting on the lower end to force them to not use mana is a great trick. Because they'll hold back to try not losing and not take spells and give you 1 to 2 extra turns of draws.
Fair. God, Domain has so much life link though. Like so much life gain in that deck. The number of times, like I lost that on game 3, I was so bitter because they ended up doing a herd Domain for every lightning strike. And I was just like, you've got to be shitting me.
I want to say too, like I've advocated for something that is never going to happen, which is just putting Rampaging Ferocidon into standard.
I want it so badly.
But like with Helix coming in too, I really, because Helix, when you kill a Ferocidon with it, you'll still gain 3 life.
Right.
Because you do it in order of the text.
Right.
maybe not, because then it has to. Because I remember that, like, that's the way it worked with the Vraska exile card.
Okay.
Because you'd exile the Ferocidon and then you'd gain 2 life, but the exile already got rid of it, whereas the damage kills it state based. So I think the spell has to resolve and then the creature dies state based.
Well, we have a giant Cindermon standard, so we can test this out. Not for early access, because Wizards got rid of that. Thanks, Watsy. But so, you know, after that, when it's out for the whole public, we'll get a chance to mess around with Helix and Cindermon.
Yeah, that'll be good to know. Because, yeah, now that I'm thinking through it, I suspect it actually might take the life away so that you wouldn't gain because of the state-based effect thing. But yeah, and that's the other thing too. Just because it works that way on Arena doesn't mean that that's the correct way for it to happen.
There are a lot of glitches that occur on Arena. Yeah. And a lot of.
And this would be a subtle one.
Well, they've been fixing a lot of them.
Well, that's the other problem with getting rid of early access is that used to be their first line of defense for bugs that needed to get fixed before fucking release.
they don't care that much.
Yeah, they're like, if you find a bug, report it. We'll get it fixed in like, you know, the 48 hours before this goes to the public. And they were just on high alert, you know?
Yeah, what was it? Week one, we had the one card. This is banned from all formats because it's broken right now.
Yeah, we can't make this card work, so you can't
draft it.
We
screwed up. It's just tap and return things from your grave at leisure.
Yeah, oops. Wasn't it like a common or uncommon? They just
rare.
Fucked
it was
up.
A rare.
Okay. Okay. I know they had a common or uncommon they also had to ban out because it wasn't working appropriately and it was glitching and it was supposed to only blow up a certain creature, but it blew up everything. And they just didn't know how to deal with it. Ah, the 3-mana thing that comes into play, it's Bant, and it is supposed to only hit one creature.
Attack of the Aardvarks.
No, like Ligrella or whatever the hell, Magpie. It never saw a play after that, because when it first came in, the way the text read, they put it in verbatim, and it exiled as many of your opponent's creatures as you wanted. So it was like Fiend Hunter for the board.
You know, maybe we'll just see an increase in quality, though, because after they, like, fired all those people and took that money and paid, like, $21 million to 4 people, maybe those 4 people are actually capable of doing the amount of work of several hundred people each. And now they're just being properly motivated with money to do so, and we'll see the best Wizards ever.
All 4 of them were like, what was the main character, Mr. Robot's name? Shoot, I forgot.
Oh, but anyway, Slater?
What if they're all that level of talent? So it's like, oh no, that's now worth the money. Yes, of course this is all fixed. This was fixed on their lunch break, man.
They needed the money to buy those drugs from Invincible, or whatever it is. What's that movie? It's not Invincible. It's some shit like that. The Bradley Cooper takes Super Ritalin.
Limitless,
yeah.
We've got 4 Limitless people working at WotC now.
Yeah, they need the Bradley Cooper Super Ritalin to make this happen.
I hope that their existence goes the way of the book, The Dark Fields, which Limitless is based off of.
No.
Well, because in that, it's not like the movie.
So it doesn't end happily.
Well, it's called The Dark Fields, okay. So I just want to point that bit out.
Foreshadowing. Got it.
It's a little, I don't know, what's the word here? Darker.
I remember when I read a review of Limitless, and whoever wrote it, it seemed like they were really pleased with themselves for identifying that there was maybe some commentary here about ADHD medications.
Oh, I was about to say, I'm sure you read
someone
my review on it.
Never went to fucking college.
Right. That would have been the right time for you to have read my review on it. I think I talked about, like, ooh, drugs good.
I remember when like Adderall and all that kind of shit just started bouncing around, especially when it was like Concerta. And what was the other one?
Vyvanse.
Not that one.
Adderall, like, Concerta, Vyvanse are the 3 I knew.
There's the one that like people have the most often on campuses, though, and it's not either of those names.
Robitussin.
Anyway, just some other cranked out ADHD medication.
Sure.
And the idea that like that would actually be a legitimate performance enhancing drug for Magic players.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you popped one of those things and went and played 9 rounds and you were just locked in, it would be like Sammy Sosa fucking banging roids.
Yeah. Yeah. I never had an issue with Sammy Sosa banging roids.
I would not benefit from that. like one of the few Magic players who doesn't have ADHD or anything. It's like, oh.
Right. When you don't have ADHD, the shit really works. So I'm told.
No.
It's an interesting case study.
Okay, I'll rephrase it. It depends on your perspectives of how you like to focus, because it will alter your focus to kind of zoom it in a lot.
Yeah, you can tunnel vision hard. You can absolutely tunnel vision. Yeah, and
if tunnel vision isn't what you like doing, it's not good.
Well, the question is, does it... Like,
well, roids doesn't work for everybody either, you know? Some people just get mad and their back explodes with zits, but they don't get muscles.
I believe the proper term is bacne.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know. I get it because, like, I think it was Vyvanse where I witnessed somebody in college take that, and they definitely weren't prescribed. She, like, should not have taken it, and they were up for 48 hours straight and had no memory of those 48 hours when they woke up after sleeping for, like, 24 after it.
Oh, that sounds horrid.
So, like, you can go too hard on the focus train. They invented a language.
Doesn't that also happen in the movie Limitless?
Yes. It's exactly the plot of the movie.
Yeah, and of course, like, maybe he killed a prostitute during that time, yeah, because it's why...
we'll have to ask Pitiless Justice a little bit more about it, because he definitely went down the path, and yeah, that was a weird 48 hours. He definitely
one time at band camp,
but he definitely tried to code an entire program in like 48 hours, and it did not work. But it was interesting.
I wish I'd had a moment to guess who it was that had done that.
But okay,
I feel like I would have gotten it inside of two.
There you go.
I really thought it was Kevin Sorbo, honestly. You know.
Well, you know, possibly.
It was definitely not Kevin Sorbo. They're busy touring along with their, I don't know, even remember the name of the movie.
Darth Syphilis?
Darth Syphilis. Now I'm thinking of Darth Sisyphus.
Which one's that?
I feel bad Sisyphus for that Sisyphus in the Rock.
Darth Sisyphus in the Rock. Jesus.
In a lot of ways, that's push. Vader, you know?
Force push really the rock. Is.
Look at this great Death Star. That's fine. I'll build another.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess in that way, it's really more that Sidious is Sisyphus. Because then there's Starkiller Base through the First Order, which he's puppeteering through Snoke, blown up again. And then we're going to put that fucking thing as a giant dick on the bottom of Star Destroyers. Yes. And then Lando shows up with a bunch of homies and they just blow the dicks off of all your Star Destroyers.
Oops.
And this time you have all the lightning in the world and it's still not able to get there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's okay. You've got your stormtroopers that left you doing all the damage.
Nobody nutted harder than Sidious in all of Star Wars lore that I'm aware of.
And all it took finally was for like one of his relatives to be like, it bounces back onto you.
Ow.
Yeah, literally his relative going no to your jizz.
Yep. Mace could deflect some, but not all.
Had Speaking to keep of the red to get there.
The Rey movie, is that scheduled for this Christmas, I think?
Is it?
No, there's no way it's coming. It's not even being filmed yet.
Yeah, it's already begun.
What? That'd be cool. I'd love to see a new Star Wars movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a year without a lot of movies, isn't it? Like,
I think if it's not around this Christmas, then it would be by March of next year, I would say.
It's a Star Wars movie, though. Like, wouldn't they put it out as a big seasonal tentpole, which to me is like...
Christmas
or maybe Thanksgiving or the middle of the summer, like July.
The
blockbuster established. Thank you, Jaws, for being the first blockbuster in history that set the summer movie thing. They've gone away from it some and realized that now it's playing more with names of things that you back off of. It's like, oh, it's a super franchise thing coming out. Okay, everyone give up the weekend. We're out. Pick the ones adjacent to it.
That's that model hasn't been panning out as much lately when like these big movies are failing to make billions of dollars anymore.
Well, streaming made things shift a lot. Now you can comfortably watch theater movies in the comfort of your own home if you prefer.
For in exorbitant prices.
I mean, how many of them, though? It kind of depends. Like, where can I watch Killers of the Flower Moon?
Right now?
On Prime, on Hulu.
Oh, for real?
It's been on there for a while.
Damn.
You can watch almost any movie within a weekend or two of it coming out.
Yep. It's just a lot of them you're paying $19.99 or $29.99 to rent it.
Oh, that's stupid as fuck. Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
That's the thing. It's not like their normal rentals of like $3.99 or $7.99. No, it's crazy expensive.
It's cheaper to go to the movie, yeah.
That, correct. It is... less expensive to just go to an actual theater.
Yeah, but if you want the comfort of your own home and you don't want to get up off your ass and deal with other people.
The theater has more comfortable chairs than I do.
Fair. But I'm sure there are people that are just like, I lay in bed and I watch my theater movies and I don't go to the motherfucking theater.
Look, if you don't switch up what you lay on, you'll get bed sores.
Fair.
50-50, am I quoting Pitiless Justice?
It takes a while to get bed sores, though. I mean, you got to do a lot of lounging. I've spent a lot of days lounging, and
you know
what?
Yeah, Yeah, you know.
I want to buy some death sticks.
Never had any bed sores issues. Hey, the longest I've spent was like a week.
The longest is a week.
Oh, where I was just God. Like, what'd you get up for? The bathroom?
Food
from the door that I had delivered.
There was an episode of Futurama once where Fry was trying to motivate someone, and they were like laying in bed depressed, and Fry's like, you can't just spend your entire life in bed. Bed sores hurt.
Perfect.
At least that's more accurate than the rest of the shit that usually gets said after the first part.
That was such a cool show.
Oh my God. Is that
still, and it's back.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's back. Yeah,
the new
isn't
seasons
it?
Of it are going.
Oh, okay.
They broke out of the time loop somehow.
Yeah, it's
they Loki'd their way out of it.
Yeah, that's on back, and something else is back too, and I can't remember what it is now.
I finally figured out where Rick and Morty season 7 is.
It's on like HBO, isn't
no,
it?
No, where? It's on Apple TV. I know.
Wait, you know, that might be getting close to being worth to popping in for a minute, because they also have that Asimov shit, The Foundation, which I heard is fucking awesome. And then there was something with Lee Pace that I also heard was fucking awesome.
They have two shows on top of that that I'm intrigued by, because they have Ted Lasso, which I enjoyed. It's not going to be everybody's cup of tea, but I fucking loved it.
Is that a cowboy thing?
It's Jason Sudeikis as a soccer coach.
That why would they have Lasso in it? That's bullshit.
It's
false
fantastic.
Advertising.
And then they have
I want some lassoing.
Well, they have the morning show, which I haven't checked out yet, but that's Jennifer Aniston, Reese Witherspoon, and I can't remember who the male protagonist is, but it's supposed to be a decent show.
There's always the great show that's about them making a video game. It's got like 3 seasons on there. It's got Mac from It's Always Sunny.
Interesting. Okay.
I've watched that, and it's great.
They seem to be upgrading their quality very nicely.
Semi-related note, I think since the last time we made a cast, I've watched the Chinese Language 3-Body, season 1. That shit rules.
Where's that on?
That is on Amazon.
Really?
And it's been for a while.
I didn't know it was. Yeah, it came out in 2023. Huh. And it is, I think, as close to the book as you could realistically get.
Nice.
There are episodes where, like, it's been building to this episode for a while, and it like hits its zenith with somebody drawing something on a dry erase board, a series of equations and like math.
Ooh.
And like all the sidelong backstories of relationships that pop up, like very Crouching Tiger style, the way it does in the book, you know, like we're just going to take a break from the story and spend a long time talking about the history of these two characters. And they just do all of it.
Okay.
It's Chinese language, which I think makes it a lot better. I don't mind reading subtitles when it is this good. Kind of like Downfall. Like, I only want to see Downfall in German if I'm going to watch it at all.
Fair.
And now for the fun one. Have you seen the Netflix trailer for 3-Body?
No.
It's either going to be something that is definitely not 3-Body that could be good or bad. But if they actually try and make it 3-Body, it's hard for me to imagine how this isn't going to suck. Because, so mild spoiler for this story, the protagonist in it sees a number, a countdown, in his field of vision all the time.
Right.
And it freaks him out and shit, but like he doesn't go totally bonkers, right? He just gets super stressed out and kind of acts weird around his family. And eventually kind of calms down and sort of puts it together with the help of the detective guy.
Right.
In the trailer for this, they've got somebody writing the countdown like in like blood or some really dirty shit.
Wow.
On like dirty tile walls over and over and over. Like the way a psycho would be writing stuff in poop and then going and killing women to wear their skin or something like that.
So they hyperbolize the fuck out of it.
Yeah. I don't know what other changes they've got in mind they're going to make. I'm guessing the SFX are going to be pretty good.
There's several people who see the numbers who are, you know, dying in the trailer. So it's like that. Maybe it's just in that individual's thing.
But it's just not that dramatic.
But yeah, they're wanting to sell this as being in sci-fi.
You know what it reminded me of visually is the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie End of Days.
Okay.
Like the motherfucker who cuts his own tongue out in End of Days when they find all his fucked up shit. Like visually, it looked like that.
It's kind of disappointing because like book one wasn't like that. Book one was very slow at the beginning. Like it took a while to get going, and that's the way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like I get it because honestly, I remember you telling me like you got to read it, and I got like maybe 200 pages into book one. And I'm like, this is not my cup of tea. And I remember coming to you and talking about it. You're like, no, just keep going. It gets so much better. And
again, it's about where I stopped in it.
Yeah. It takes a minute to get going, but God, the payoff.
Tool isn't for everybody.
Right. It's got that vibe.
And there's very few people, including me, that heard Tool the first time and thought something other than like, oh, this sucks. This is stupid as fuck. But, you know, I was kind of patient and listened to a little more. And then all of a sudden, I don't know what happened, but I fucking love it.
Yeah.
I mean, some things don't need to happen quickly. Some things can be long and drawn out and are better for it. I think Three Body is one of those things.
I'd agree. The payoff is tremendous over the books. So I'll be honest. I reread the series and I just kind of glossed over the first couple hundred pages because I wanted to get to the parts I liked, you know, but like, you know, that's a reread. You read what you want on a reread.
I think that
you read very differently. Yeah, from I
was
going to say,
I don't follow that reread. Maybe if this was like the 12th reading, I might be like, oh, okay. Yeah. I'm just going to skip to some spot I want to read. Like, no, man.
On the 12th reading, we just skip to where the porn is. Just got to get that scene.
So you can skip the entire Remembrance of Earth's Past trilogy then.
Yes.
A story spanning all kinds of like billions of years by the end of it.
Blah, blah, and blah, no blah, one blah, fucks. Blah, blah.
Yeah.
No one fucks. It's implied that people have fucked because they have children later.
But never is it talked about.
No. And there's like a courtship. For sure.
Oh, yeah.
That happens entirely in a man's mind. And like, it's some wild, some weird shit. But yeah, like the sex, violence, and quick and fast, you will not find there. I think that, yeah, the English language adaptation is going to get it wrong by reversing precisely all those things.
I mean, perhaps that was the beauty of the books, though, is like most books you see fall into the category of we've got to make, like, it's got to hit hard, got to hit fast, got to be fucking, got to be violent. And this was one that was just such a different pace from everything else I've ever read.
Yeah, I love that about it. Again, like Tool, I don't want to listen to Tool all the fucking time, but like, goddamn, when it's good, it's good.
With some death sticks, Tool is the best, in my opinion.
Following along that sort of theme of nice and slow, not too much on touching into action things. Succession, woot, even though that series is over now.
I didn't love how it all like went down in the final season, but I did appreciate
the pacing. Was nice.
It was. And the finale itself I was a huge fan of. But like they had like three or four episodes in that final season towards the end where I'm just like, it's not where I wanted it to go.
It's an abortion, Michael.
It's not where you wanted it to go, but it still went well.
It went okay. That's not...
It was. Look, I value my scale over any logical scale.
They were so...
Putting your clothes on as quickly as possible. Well, I didn't hate it.
Yeah, they were so hyperbolic in so much of what they were doing the entire show. It just felt like an underwhelming way to finish it when they had the premise of billions of dollars at play. And people are just taking an L at the end. Billionaires don't take L's. They just start killing people and doing whatever they want.
Well, that would be a different show.
Would it though? Because they sort of just did whatever they wanted.
That would be a different show.
Some of them are dumb as fuck though.
Yeah, I've seen Elon, yeah. Oh, God. I did see the, apparently, the Tesla vehicles.
Hashtag mention the Elon.
Well, apparently Tesla vehicles...
Yeah, it's a podcast.
...have a... Right. They're having huge issues with the weather, though, because we have those negative degree weathers and the batteries are not meant to withstand below zero. So that's a big problem right now. People are just abandoning Teslas in high-fee parking lots.
You know, what's also funny is Elon Musk is currently informing that unless they give him more money for Tesla work, he's going to take and build Tesla with someone else outside of Tesla. I swear that's going on right now.
Wow. I hope he gets Rudy Giuliani as a lawyer.
Oh, man. Oh,
perfect. Yes, clown shoes for clown shoes. Let's do it.
I read also that somebody, because, you know, like the Teslas can do more than they do.
Right.
The way they're built, like you have to pay them several extra $1,000 and they press some button and like now it can travel farther.
Yep.
Because fuck you, I guess.
Yep.
So somebody started like force hacking it to like just get past it. And then they found... like an Elon mode.
Oh, what? No.
Which what it does is it turns on the unapproved autonomous driving. So you can, I don't know how many of these vehicles it's in, but like you can hack some of them and turn on autonomous driving, which is not street legal.
Awesome. Awesome. So
here's an interesting question.
That's marvelous. You
know, Albert
okay.
hacks his Cybertruck and turns on Elon mode.
Okay.
Gets in the car and doesn't pay attention as he engages autonomous driving. Of course, he runs over like 400 ducklings.
Sure.
And we need to hold someone accountable. Is it him? Is it Elon? Is it both of them?
Well,
is it Tesla? Because does Tesla as a company know that these vehicles were set up to do this? Or did he just do it because he wanted to be able to just get into any Tesla and be like, beep, beep, boop, I'm Elon Musk. My car's better, even though I'm driving it. Boop, 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 boop.
Well, okay. I think we can agree Elon's probably not the one custom coding each individual car. So like somebody in the company, at least, has to be pushing this.
Right, he made
in.
Someone do it almost certainly, but like, does the company know that he put Order 66 in the cars?
He's acting within the scope of his employment, so are the people who are working for him. So does it matter if the rest of the company doesn't know what the left hand's doing? Doesn't
but
that
he,
just...
He's not working in the scope of his employment, I think. If he's modifying these vehicles secretly to have a feature that's only available to him, that seems, you know, like kind of fraudulent, kind of deceptive. Like, can the company go against him if they don't know about it? Maybe. I mean, I didn't get good grades in classes like that, that were like the business ones, but...
Maybe it's
sounds like a clusterfuck.
Maybe it's leftover coding stuff from an earlier version that involved Elon having control over them, and they just never wrote the code out, so underneath all the layers, it remained.
Well, I mean, this is torts meets business associations, right?
You're never going to find anyone who knows everything about both of them.
Right. I'm just sitting here like, okay, so proximate cause, but
what is your specialty? Like, not that.
And products liability.
And products liability.
It's jurisdictional nightmares.
God, all the jurisdictional nightmares.
Multinational jurisdictional nightmares. The intellectual property is also involved here because of coding.
And we may get into conflict of laws. Mm-hmm. Almost certainly. In fact, we'll get into conflict of laws.
It's autonomous driving. Let's throw in some like AI and things too. Come on, let's convolute it more.
And then Arnold shows up.
No, I would assume there's at least a decent products liability action in there. I don't know if you get to strict liability on it, but like there's something there if they're putting a car with that.
Why are you trying?
Because I spent all day working
on this.
The point
is you don't need to try to figure this one out.
I don't know. My brain's in that mode.
I don't think anyone's crashed it yet. I don't think anybody's been dumb enough to use it.
That's a matter of time if it's out though.
I don't know if it's out or if it's just these individuals that did it to a couple of vehicles or if they, you know, provided the recipe. I don't think they provided the recipe. I think they just demonstrated that they can.
So like 2024 Anarchist Cookbook now involves how to hack a Tesla?
It seems like it should.
Does that still exist even anymore?
No, but I want somebody to make a new version
did
with all the cool shit.
The dictionary in Florida.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Why?
Because it explains what sex is.
What?
Under the technicality of that law, which is anything that anyone could find anything, it has no specifications on anything or who could do it at what time or amount, you can ban it.
They're creating obscenity laws where they draw the definition of obscenity wide enough to include people being gay and sexualizing anything about anything. So yeah, the dictionary that includes fucking words that you don't want people to hear or use because this kind of comes down to no-no words and no-no ideas, and every single one of those words is in the dictionary.
A book that had the word gay on the cover was banned. Just so you know, it was the last name of the author and had nothing to do with anything about homosexuality. The person's last name was literally that, and they banned it.
So Floridians couldn't apply to Harvard then? Because wasn't the...
None of it makes sense.
But wasn't the dean of Harvard the last name was gay?
The previous one gay, yes.
Yeah. Is it previous? What happened?
I thought that Harvard was the one who just lost with the whole gaffe over anti-Israeli, anti-Semitism whole thing.
Yeah.
Are you able to actually obtain a high school diploma in Florida? Like legally?
I don't know.
Or does it just top out at GED?
I have no idea.
I'm just saying, can you even go from Florida to Harvard?
Is there a pipeline?
Right. Maybe there's a pipeline that fucking goes through like a real university somewhere.
Maybe it's just through a trust fund.
Like, what's the most hard partying? Like Arizona State?
Yeah.
Like, maybe if you go to Arizona State first, but.
Is Arizona State just the GED of the college world?
I have no idea. You know, there's been so many fake ones that were the like the online college degree that people got scammed and like all the weird student loan shit with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, Trump University existed.
Yep.
Trump University existed.
I know law schools, there was a shitload that popped up, got taken out, and then got sued to hell and back because the people that they had put through there were not even close to prepared for the bar exam.
Yeah. And some of them weren't even accredited.
Right.
There were some Christian ones about the time that I was like looking at applications, which is years ago.
Right.
That were like, I'm reading their, because I'm looking at what they want for LSAT scores and grades. Cause you know, I want something that I feel safe about. Like I'll get that at least.
Right.
And I was looking, so like, oh my God, how is it? Like, I'll get that for sure if I want.
Right.
And every single one I'm reading, it's like about your path to lawyering for Christ and shit like that. It was all super fucking culty just in their website materials.
It makes sense that the Christian right kind of went down that path of like, oh, there's all this free money. Let's just go get it.
Well, you know, and then I went to like an actual one, yeah. Like an actual school. And there was some Catholic guy in so many of my classes that couldn't make a real argument because everything started with, well, as a Catholic,
Jesus.
And there were some professors who would like stand there and sort of like mock him in silence and then respond reasonably. And there were some that like after a couple of weeks were just like, Nobody cares. It doesn't matter. We're talking about the law. But you take that motherfucker and put him in one of those super Jesus-y places, they would have fucking given him all the awards. So send that idiot out into practice having never gotten a brain spanking about any of this dumb shit. Yeah, instant malpractice. Probably works for Trump right now.
You see, according to God, this is how the law works.
Hey, if you go back, it's several years
God
now.
God is Trump, you see.
There was an Iowa legislator who got into office who people got complaining at one point, and no one had looked into because they were older and happened many years ago, What their degree was actually in. They had a degree from Sizzler's Steakhouse.
What?
I kid you not.
I mean, this sounds like a spicy degree. What was the degree in?
I don't think it went beyond that.
It was a season.
I think
it
come on, they do lots of things at Sizzlers. They do like, they've got wait staff. They've got kitchen. You got to do schedules. You got to do management. You got dishwashing. I think there's abortions by the dumpsters sometimes on Tuesday evenings.
I think all Sizzlers are toast now. I think they went out of business a few years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's sad.
And that degree is still, in my opinion, of higher relevance than Kim Reynolds' resume.
What's the place that has like the baby back rib Chili's?
Yes.
Do you think that like Sizzlers died and Chili's hasn't yet because of Mike Myers?
Ooh, that is distinctly possible.
Interesting.
Like in one Austin Powers movie, having fat bastards sing about baby back ribs, was that enough to make people go like, yeah, I'll go to that instead of Sizzler?
Sizzler also had a really poor gimmick. They felt old. Just they stayed feeling old.
Yeah, yeah.
Chili's like, modernized.
Was it kind of the aesthetic that like, you definitely hardly find anymore where it's those kind of like gold rails on the back of everything.
That is correct.
Yeah.
I kind of like those joints. It's a bummer that there's not many of them left.
Oh, and then they have like the pool table lighting by the table. So everything's partly dark, partly lit. And it's like, that's an environment I want. I do not want this brightly super fluorescent. No.
No, like the get the fuck out of here lighting.
Like, why did you light this place like this? I know you hate the customers, but.
Okay, counterpoint. Do you think it was the end of smoking that killed it? You know, having.
I think there were a lot of places that renovated because you were smoking in that and like it reeked like smoke everywhere now and we needed to not do that, so we might as well modernize.
Right.
But there were some joints that never allowed smoking at all and they're just less popular. Okay, so like there's one in downtown La Crosse that by the time this comes out doesn't exist anymore called Fazies, and it's set up exactly like that. And you can go in and order like any kind of fucking basic ass food. You know, you can get like a quesadilla, a hamburger, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I went there one time because I'd been to town many years and saw that they were going out of business and thought like, well, I should fucking find out. And it was one of those joints.
Yeah.
One of those super old school, like where our grandparents would have gone when they were in their middle years sort of vibe.
Always an interesting one. Yeah. Fair. Fair.
I miss those old things. Coffee shops that are at ground level. So you're looking out at people's feet as they walk by.
I just miss smoking in IHOP. But,
and IHOP misses you smoking in it and putting a cigarette out in pancakes and spilling syrup everywhere.
If you wanted to smoke at IHOP, you just go to Waffle House.
Get them hash browns.
Depends how Waffle old House you are, we'll put browns. It that way.
Like the law is only something that's written on paper, and that's especially true in a Waffle House.
That's, yeah. The number of fights in Waffle Houses is pretty high.
It's like the Florida of restaurants.
I actually, when I was down south in Atlanta for the RCQ and all that shit, Waffle House was the breakfast spot we went to. And I walked in, I was like, never been to one of these. Okay, I get the vibe.
There was like a Perkins thing or something at a corner in Iowa City. And sometimes I'd go there hungover. Yeah. And they had a smoking section in there that was like half of it. You could get seated instantly in the smoking section, but not in the regular section. Perfect. It was perfect.
It was great.
And everybody hated all the people like looking over at the smokers. They had just these looks of ire on their faces. You're like, it's a smoking section. Yeah, like, we're not blowing your direction.
This is a coffee joint. Fuck off.
We are all hungover.
Dude, I think you can.
You brought your kids.
You can smoke everywhere in Florida, even though there's no smoking signs.
Oh.
Because, like, yeah, somebody be smoking a cigarette and you point out, like, hey, that says no smoking. They're like, you can read, get them. And then they fucking kill you. And it's not really to prevent smoking. It's to prevent reading people from continuing to breathe.
Please do note there are many casinos.
It's a trap.
There are many casinos that still allow smoking in them, even in Iowa and things. And then you go to Vegas and you can smoke there.
Oh, I didn't know that. So yeah, Vegas is on board with smoking. Okay.
You can do that here. We could go down to Riverside and fucking rip cigs all night playing stupid games.
Yeah.
Well, that's
they have special licensing for it.
I mean, I'm not a casino person, but that's good to know. The problem I have with a casino at this point is that I'm net positive about $130-ish, and I feel
that's
like...
That's not a relevant number.
No, but to me it is, because how many people get to say in their lifetime that they ended up net positive against a casino? And if I go in, I'm going to lose it.
You know? I feel the same way. I'm the same. I'm like net positive in gambling by just over $100, because I've hardly done it, and in the hardly gambling I've done, I got lucky.
But that means that you don't. Neither of you really enjoy the gambling.
I'm not innumerate. You know, like there's a reason these casinos make so much money.
I also have magic, and magic is far more interesting than poker to me.
That's just it. Like you got to figure out what. Like a lot of people go into casinos because they like to gamble.
True. Yeah, I don't get really any pleasure out of casino gambling though, because it feels
more
so
strategy.
Because it is so disfavored. Yeah, poker is a different thing, and that's. If you, no one's inherently disfavored in poker except by their skill level or just random luck. But like casino games, you're inherently disfavored.
Yeah, I'll fuck with roulette, blackjack, and poker, and that's it, because the rest really don't interest me. But even then, I'd rather play magic.
But what's the difference between playing Pai Gow and roulette?
I don't know what Pai Gow is. Oh. That's the difference.
I also don't know how to play roulette, so no fucking difference.
Look, roulette has one rule. Wesley Snipes gave it to us. Always bet on black. It was a very simple, it was passenger 57, I think.
What did he say about taxes, though? Because you do have to pay taxes on gambling winnings. So the odds are worse than they seem.
Yeah.
Because like, say it's one-to-one odds, which doesn't exist. But if it's one-to-one odds, it's really not that, because it doesn't pay back as one, because it's gambling profits that are taxed.
I don't know if they changed the rule yet, but it used to be, if you went over $9,000 as at a cash-in, they had to report it. But if you were cashing like under $9,000 with them, they didn't report it specifically under your name or something.
Anonymous payouts.
it was considered not a number they had to pay out. They had to keep logs of who they paid out. Because even if they give you $100 back, they do not make a formal document.
Yeah, that makes sense.
There's, I think, a non-sunset part of the Patriot Act that... I, with banks, certainly, whenever $10,000 or more gets moved, there's federal reporting. Sure. But I think that would definitely apply to casinos as well if it was the Patriot Act era and they were aiming at getting all the information.
Yeah, that makes sense. I don't know. I mean, we heard rumors that there were going to be a massive amount of audits in the near future for everybody, and that the IRS was going to go up in numbers.
The deal that they just made is already removing IRS funding. That was like just passed.
Fantastic.
They're reducing some funding to then re-ramp up funding a few years from now, because they figure the budget right now shouldn't influence it too much into a drop.
It's an election year, damn it.
Can you imagine if we wielded the IRS as a weapon for good? I think we could wield the One Ring.
Yeah.
Right? Because like, what if you staffed it with just thousands and thousands of people? Like, let's hire fucking 50,000 people.
Everything quickly.
Hire like 50,000 people.
Okay.
And have them be work from home, because why not? You're auditing.
Right.
So like, good jobs, government benefits, solid pay. Onboard them with a little bit of training, but their job then, this massive group of people, is to focus all their attention and scrutiny on like the 300 or so who have a billion or more dollars.
Yep.
Because that's where all the revenue is to get gotten. Imagine if like every billionaire had like 400 IRS people
going over
auditing
each
them
area
all the time. I feel like we could wield the ring.
At a bare minimum, it would be nice if we just said, okay, you get audited if you make more than X amount of money and X is a milli plus.
But still, you create all those jobs and have all those people. Like, let's just keep
right,
that
all
consistent.
Those jobs, all those people, and like the massive accountability, because there would be hundreds of people whose job it is specifically to look at like Richard Branson.
Right.
Which means that there would be like a Richard Branson IRS auditor talk. You know what I'm saying? Like, it would really get the information out to a lot of people. It would put more eyes on it than just those individuals working.
Instead of being overwhelmed, we just ignore what the poor people are doing because who needs to audit them? You can't bleed a rock anyway.
Right. That's just a squeeze made by fucking dragons. We don't really need that money to run a government. We need this other fucking money.
Yeah. They're like, no, go get the pebbles. And we're like, no, how about the gold?
Hey, let's fix every bridge and road.
Yeah. No.
No, that's fine. You don't get a plane like that no more. Not without paying.
Have you seen our governor? No, she just rejected all the federal funding for, what was it? Food assistance.
Yeah.
Yeah, because obesity is a problem in Iowa, and so kids shouldn't eat in Iowa. God damn it, Kim Reynolds.
Don't forget, years ago, she also rejected all of that money for, it's not food stamps, it's
all those fat, starving children.
Well, she also rejected derecho.
Anything funding that would help people that she doesn't like, potentially,
gets
she
rejected.
Rejects it.
She hates everyone.
That's pretty true, yeah.
I think she likes a certain Florida governor.
No, I think she like also hates him.
But she wants the VP.
Yeah, yeah. Like if they fucked, it would only be like hate.
Business fuck.
Anger in both of their eyes. Like this is the best we could do.
No, there would be like no business. It would be all personal and all hatred.
You're fucking a toy. The other person at that point is an inanimate object to you.
It's like dissatisfaction and compromise collapsing on itself into a singularity.
What do you think the safe word is?
There is none. No. I mean, that would, everyone stops being, yeah, like no one's going to keep fucking when we start talking about Trump.
Yeah.
I bet if two cats were like fucking in the alley, I could be like, Donald Trump, and they'd be like, fuck you.
You ruined the mood.
Yeah. Really into this.
Fucking dude cat gets soft, fucking claws you a finger, and they both just walk off. Later, they just leave a bunch of cat shit under your doormat.
Asshole saying Trump in the middle.
Scratched in feces, fuck you.
Okay.
Perfect. Perfect.
That, yeah.
No, yeah. Later, you're getting laid, and through the window, you hear him like, meow, meow,
meow, meow. Hey, Trump won over a lot of people just recently. Trump ate some Casey's pizza and said it was good pizza. And people are applauding him.
Of course Trump eats pizza from a gas station. What?
Yep. Oh my God, he's so down to earth. Who would have expected that he would be stuck eating this pizza that people told him to eat?
No way he didn't eat gas station pizza already.
Fair. Fair.
Like, remember when all those college athletes came to the White House and he had just like a bunch of fucking cold Filet-O-Fish sandwiches and McDoubles and all this shit?
Yes. Here's your McMeal. Welcome like, to the White House.
When he reaches mentally for like hypothetical jobs people have, it's always like delivering pizza, flipping burgers, or lawyers.
God. Well, at least we'll get to see round two of Clown Shoes versus Half Corpse.
Well, hey, who knows? It's still early. It's just the caucus time yet. We've still got a long ways to go.
How did those caucus results go? Did anyone look?
51%. And then the next ones were 21 and 19.
Who's got the 51?
T-Rump.
Yeah, figured. And then we got
Haley.
Nikki
got
Haley
the 19.
And Santis with 21.
21. All right. And nine somewhere else, but Ramaswamy, I can't say their name, just did officially declare they've suspended their campaign.
Vivek Ramaswamy.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're down to three.
Definitely not a they. Not claiming that one. He has dropped out.
That's the best non-binary joke I've heard yet. Good night. Thank you.